Bibles this morning. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. Good to see this good crowd in the Lord's house this morning. I hope you hadn't come to hear from me. If you hear from me, you ain't going to get much. Come to hear from God this morning. See what He's got for us, that it might help us in our life. Acts chapter number 1. Of course, you'll find your place in chapter number 1. And if you didn't know, the man who wrote the Gospel of Luke, which was Luke, he's the same one that wrote this epistle right here, the book of Acts. Because in verse number 1, he says that he writes this to a man named Theophilus. Now, I wouldn't recommend calling your son that. But he writes this letter to him, and if you go back to the Gospel of Luke, he actually mentions his name that he writes it to him too. So Luke is writing this, and the book of Acts is actually a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And if you find your place here in verse number 3, it's where we'll start. And we will read through verse number 11 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 3 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "To whom also He, which is Jesus, showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, Ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You that it still has the power to make people wise unto salvation today. We might come to know You as our personal Lord and Savior. I thank You for the power that's involved in Your Word, Lord. And I pray that the power of the Word of God would imprint our hearts today, would be a seed that's planted in our hearts today, God, that it might bring forth fruit in our lives. And Lord, we do thank You for this place that we're able to come and gather together as the local New Testament church, as the body of Christ, that we might worship together, Lord. And I pray that as we just take Your Word, we expound on it, Lord, I pray that You'll give us the gift that we need in order to teach. And Lord, I pray that You'll open our hearts and just help us to receive whatever You'd have us to receive today. And we thank You for the precious blood that was shed for us, that we might have eternal life. And Lord, I pray that for every word that's said, You'll get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that in verse number 3 that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's why we came together last week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we not only celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday, do we? Every morning we wake up, we know that Jesus is alive. And we just don't do it on Easter. But the Bible says that when He rose from the dead, verse 3 tells us that for 40 days He showed Himself to His disciples. And you remember, if you go throughout the Gospels, He showed Himself many times. He showed Himself on that Emmaus road with the two disciples. He showed up in the upper room with Thomas, without Thomas. He showed up to Peter and John and all them while they were fishing. They had breakfast together. They ate together. Jesus talked with His disciples. He gave them their commission. He told them what they're to do to spread the good news about the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He walked with them for 40 days after His resurrection. But you know, Luke records for us the 40th day right here in Acts chapter 1. And on this 40th day, something happened that most of the time we don't really talk about the importance of it. You see, Jesus went with His disciples on this 40th day after He rose from the dead. They went over to a place called the Mount of Olives. And 2 years ago, I got to go to that same place to where Jesus ascended to heaven, and one day He's going to come back. And that was an awesome place to be honest with you. But He walked over to the Mount of Olives with all of His disciples standing around, and they said as He was teaching them, He said, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses." And after He said that, the Bible says a cloud came down, and He ascended up into heaven. What happened on this 40th day? You say, well, why is that so important? Now, we know the importance of the death of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." So His death, He died in our place. But He rose for us too. He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. So He died for us. He rose for us. But guess what else the Bible says He did for us? He ascended for us. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. "For Christ is entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." He ascended for us. He died for us. He rose for us. But here we'll see in Acts chapter number 1 that He also ascended for us. And when He ascended, He went to one place, to the right hand of God. And when He did, He sat down. And that's where I want to preach to you this morning. When Jesus sat down. When Jesus sat down, because for the past 2,000 years, this is the exact place that Jesus has been since He ascended from the Mount of Olives. He sat down on the right hand of God. And Scripture tells us all throughout the New Testament that that's exactly where He went, and that's exactly where He is right now. Let me show you some of the verses that tells us that He sat down. These are just a handful of the verses that tell you that He sat down. Mark 16. Mark says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God." Peter says in Acts 2, "Therefore being by the right hand of God and exalted." And this one's interesting in Acts chapter number 7. This is Stephen. He was getting stoned to death. And some of his last words were this, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now that's interesting, because most people will tell you when these people got martyred, when these people still give their life for Jesus today, over in other countries, people are having their heads cut off for the witness of Jesus Christ every single day right now as we speak. And I believe that when they die, they look up into heaven and Jesus is standing welcoming them into heaven. That's exactly what He did for Stephen. The Bible says in Colossians 3, it says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God." In Hebrews chapter 1, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So where did Jesus go when He ascended? To the right hand of God, and He sat down. You say, why is that important? Well, that's why we're here today, so I can tell you why is that important. I'll give you three things today, and we'll go get a piece of chicken. Sound good? Amen. All right. Well, He ascended, number one, to send God's promise. He ascended, number one, to send God's promise. He's sitting around His 11 disciples the night before He was going to be crucified. Judas had already gone out to betray Him. And He's speaking to His disciples, and He said these words. He says, "It is expedient," or in other words, it's helpful, "it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Jesus said, it's actually a good thing that I'm leaving this earth. It's actually a good thing that I'm ascending. It's a good thing that I'm going away. You say, well, why is that a good thing? The Bible says, because the Comforter will come unto you. And some of them say a helper will come unto you. And you'll notice that's a capital C. And in chapter 14, Jesus reveals the Comforter to us as who? The Holy Spirit. We know that person as the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, it's good that I'm leaving, because when I ascend, the Holy Spirit is going to descend. And you see, that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says Jesus ascended on this 40th day, but then 10 days later, you'll remember the 120 disciples are gathered together in the upper room. And guess who descended? The Holy Spirit. And He came upon them and they began to speak in tongues that nobody knew except all the people that were gathered around from different languages. And the reason they spoke in tongues during that was for God to show them, I'm starting a new work and these guys have it. That's the only reason they did it. But anyway, we got here, we've got 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus ascends 10 days later, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit descends. And that's why the ascension is important. Because Jesus said, if I do not ascend, the Holy Spirit will not descend. And He said, it's actually better that this happens. You say, how in the world is it better that Jesus is no longer on earth? Let me tell you why. Say the Apostle John is in Jerusalem. And say the Apostle Peter is in Galilee. Do you know where Jesus in bodily form cannot be at the same time? Both places. He cannot be in Jerusalem and in Galilee at the same time when He was on earth in His body. Now, He could know what was going on in Galilee and Jerusalem, but He couldn't be two places at one time when He was in bodily form. But here we find the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm going away. And if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. And that's better, because it's better because no matter where John is, no matter where Peter is, no matter where you are, I will be on the inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's better that the Holy Spirit came, because no matter if I'm in Dallas, California, Texas, Florida, no matter if you're here, there, or anywhere, God is with you and me. That's why it's important. Because the Holy Spirit came not only to descend, but He came to live on the inside of us. And that's why the ascension is essential. Because when Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit descended to those and to live on the inside of those who have trusted in Him. You say, well, what's so important about the Holy Spirit descending to live on the inside of us? The important thing is, without the Holy Spirit, the Christian life is absolutely impossible. Amen. Without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, you doing the things and me doing the things that God has called us to do is absolutely impossible. Jesus looked at His disciples. He said in Acts 1, He said, you're going to be witnesses to me of my death, of my resurrection. But He looked at him and said, but wait, don't start yet. Go in the city of Jerusalem. And then when you're endued from power from on high with the Holy Spirit, then go be witnesses. Because He's the only one that can be a witness of me and be successful at it. See, we need the Holy Spirit. Now, don't ever forget this. The most powerful person on the face of the planet lives on the inside of you and me if we're Christians. Isn't that something? The most powerful person on the face of the planet lives on the inside of us. No matter who you face, no matter what you're facing today, there is somebody more powerful than that, than them, living on the inside of us. And that's why we're more than overcomers through Him who loved us. Because He lives on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended to send God's promise of the Holy Spirit. But next one, and my favorite one, is Jesus ascended to sit as our great High Priest. That's number two. Jesus ascended to sit as our great High Priest. Hebrews chapter 4 says, seeing then as we have a great High Priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an High Priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He says, we have a great High Priest that's passed into the heavens, and it's Jesus, the Son of God. Now, when I say the word priest to you, 90% of you think Catholic. I can already tell you. Now, I don't believe in having a priest, just to be honest with you. I'm not your priest this morning. I'm your pastor. Amen. Because when you have the great High Priest, you do not need another priest. I do not go to a man to confess my sins. I go to Jesus, the only one, to confess my sins. I don't go to a man who's just as sinful as me to confess. I go to Jesus, who never sinned, to confess. See, when you have the great High Priest, you don't need another priest. We have a great High Priest. The only time great High Priest is mentioned, when it's mentioning Jesus. Every other priest is just High Priest. But Jesus is a great High Priest. And let me show you why He's a great High Priest. And you see, we don't need a high priest in the New Testament because we've got one. But what is a high priest? If I were to ask you, what is a high priest? What are they? Let me give you three things that they are. Number one, a high priest was a middleman. He was a middleman. Listen to this verse and it'll explain to you exactly what a high priest is. This is in the book of Job. You'll remember Job suffered more than anybody. He lost absolutely everything. His friends come to him and say, "You're obviously doing something wrong. Ask God why He's punishing you." And this is what Job replies in Job chapter 9. He says, "For He is not a man as I am, that I should answer Him. And neither is there any daysman between us." Or neither is there any mediator, middleman between us. You see, what a daysman was, a middleman was somebody would look at this man and say, "Hey, I have a question for the king. Can you take that question to the king because I can't approach him?" That's what a middleman was. And Job says, "Listen, I'm a man. I'm unholy. He's God and He's holy. I have no right to go to Him and question Him. I need somebody to take my question to Him because I can't." And you see, that's exactly what a high priest was. Somebody that stood between man and God. That's a high priest. A middleman. One who understood God, yet one who understood man, because he too was a man, and he felt the sins of man. He felt the infirmities of man. He felt the weakness of man. So the high priest is a middleman. One who's in between God and man, and one who brings man to God, and one who brings God to man. Everybody got that? A high priest is a middleman. Number two, a high priest is a representative. A representative. Now, the definition of a representative is a person chose to speak or act for another. In other words, we have representatives for the state of North Carolina. They speak for us whether we like it or not. They speak for us. We have a representative for America. He speaks for us. And that's what the high priest was. You see, in the Old Testament, God ordained these high priests. The first one that He called was Aaron, the brother of Moses, you'll of course remember in the book of Exodus. Now the high priest was man's representative to God for the nation of Israel. And get this, when God would look at that high priest, say it was Aaron, when He looked at Aaron, He would say, "If you're clean, I see the rest of the nation of Israel is clean. If you're unclean, I see the rest of the nation as unclean." So whatever the high priest looked like, that's how God saw the rest of the nation. All right? Remember that, a representative. Some of you know where I'm going, but just stick with me. A high priest was a middleman. He was a representative, but he was also a forerunner. He was a forerunner, which meant this. He was the only one that could go into the presence of God. He went into the presence of God on behalf of His nation, on behalf of His people. As a matter of fact, the high priest was the only person who could enter into the presence of God, wasn't he? If anybody else did it and they entered into that place with strange fire, with a strange offering, they immediately died. Aaron had two sons, Nadab and Abihu, that did just that in Leviticus 10. They dropped dead as soon as they entered into the presence of God. Because nobody else could go except the high priest. You see, the presence of God in the Old Testament, let me see if I have this. It's hard to see. That's the tabernacle. We've went through this a few times, but the presence of God resided right there. You see that? The Ark of the Covenant is what that's called. It was behind this place called a veil. And the high priest could go in there only one time a year, and the presence of God resided over that ark where the two cherubims were. And that's where God said, "I will meet with you." Now get this. There were requirements for the high priest entering into the Holy of Holies. He had to do some things before he could enter into God's presence in the Holy of Holies. And let me give you those things. He had to have the right clothes on. He had to have the right clothes on. The Bible says in Leviticus 16, God says, "He shall put on the holy linen coat, he shall have on the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle. These are the holy garments." So basically, he would put on this robe that would be down to his feet. He would put on this golden girdle that would be around his chest. God says he has to put that on, for these are the holy garments that cover him. All right? Had to have on the right clothes. He also had to pass through three doors to get to that place. This is the tabernacle. He had to pass through the gate. He had to pass through this next curtain. And in order to get to the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, he had to pass through that veil. That's the only way to get there. Pass through this gate, pass through there, pass through the veil. And that was three doors. I want you to remember that. Three places he had to pass through to get to the presence of God. All right? And once that's that second one, and that's that third one. And when he got there, he was in the very presence of God. So he had to pass through three doors. Not only did he have to have the right clothes on, he had to pass through three doors. He had to have a blood sacrifice with him. Leviticus 16 says, "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering." Just stick with me for a minute. I'm getting somewhere. "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat." So that high priest could not enter into the presence of God without the blood of a lamb, of a bull, of a goat. Because if he did, he'd drop dead just like the other ones did. He brought in the blood of a lamb that might have been pure, that he could pour out the blood. And when God saw the blood poured out on the mercy seat, he said, "I'm satisfied, and their sins are covered for one more year." He had to have a blood sacrifice when he went in there. But he had to also do it once a year. The Bible says in Leviticus 16:34, he said, "He shall come in to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year." And Hebrews 9 says, "But into the second place went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood." That's what the high priest was. He was a middleman. He was a representative of his people. He was a forerunner that went into the presence of God. But he had to have the right clothes on. He had to pass through those three doors. He had to have the right blood sacrifice. And he had to do it one time every single year. That was a high priest. Well, let me tell you why Jesus is our great high priest. Because he did every single one of these to absolute perfection. To perfection. Let me show you. Jesus is our middleman. You see, I'm a man. God is not. God is holy. I am unholy. Therefore, I cannot get to Him. There is nobody in between me that can take my message to Him. But when I could not get to God, God said, "Since you're a man and I'm God and you can't get to me, I'll become a man so that you might get to me." And you see, that's exactly what happened. When I couldn't get to God, God said, "I'll get to you and I will become a man." The Bible says there is one mediator, one middleman between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The reason Jesus is our perfect mediator, the reason He's our perfect middleman is because not only He understands God, because Jesus is fully God, but He also understands man because He came down to this earth and He was fully man. That's why He's the perfect middleman. He not only understands you and me perfectly, He understands God perfectly. He's the only 200% person to ever live. 100% God, 100% man. If you're thirsty, guess who's been thirsty? Jesus. If you're going through hunger, guess who's been hungry? Jesus. If you're going through the loss of a loved one, guess who's been through that? If you're going through depression, He's been through it. If you're dealing with sins being on your shoulders, He's been through it. If you're dealing with people rejecting you, going against you, He's been through it. No matter what you go through, I may not understand, but there is a man that you can go to that understands. Because He's been exactly where we are. There is nothing that you and I go through that Jesus has not already walked in those steps. That's why we can go to Him whenever we want. The Bible says we cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for you. There are some things you go through that I'll never understand because I hadn't been there. But there's nothing you can go through that that man Jesus does not understand because He's been there. He's our middleman. He's a perfect one. But He's also, remember, our representative. A representative is one who speaks or acts on behalf of another. And you'll remember when the high priest would show up, God would look at the high priest and say, "If you're clean, the rest of the nation's clean. If you're unclean, the rest of the nation is unclean." Well, Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, and when God looks at Jesus, by the way, Jesus was clothed in perfect righteousness. So when God looks at Jesus, He says, "I see the rest of your children clothed in perfect righteousness." Isn't that good? Because if God looked at me, I'd be in trouble. But you know the way He sees me? Through the eyes of His Son. Because He's our representative. He represents us, those who trust in Him. But you see, when somebody comes accusing us, what do you need? You need a lawyer to fight for you, don't you? The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he stands before the throne of God accusing you, 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 and me day and night before God's throne saying, "Are you kidding me? They're a child of God. Look what they're doing. Look at the sins they're committing." And Jesus looks at the devil and says, "I'm here on their behalf. I speak for them and my blood has already covered it." When somebody brings up your past, it ain't God. Because He don't even remember it. The one who brings up your past is that devil that runs his mouth. By the way, he's a coward. He comes to you at the weakest time of night, 3 a.m. Anybody else get woken up by him and start talking about what you did 10 years ago? When you hear that, that's one person it'll never be, God. Because we're getting to the next point. His blood sacrifice covered every single one of them. He's a representative, but he's also our forerunner, if you'll remember. He's also our forerunner. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. I'm thankful we got an anchor today. Both sure and steadfast, and listen to this, which enter into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Jesus was our forerunner that went behind the veil, that went before us into the presence of God. And look at these requirements that the high priest had to do. He had to have the right clothes, pass through three doors, blood sacrifice, and once a year. Jesus did all this to perfection. Jesus had to have the right clothes. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter number 1, John's receiving a revelation from Jesus Christ. And you'll remember that high priest had that robe down to his feet and he had that girdle around him to show he was the high priest. Well, when Jesus stands before John in glorified form, John looks at him and this is what he says concerning Jesus. And in the midst of the candlesticks, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about his chest with a golden girdle. Isn't that something? Jesus even has on the right clothes in heaven for you and I as our high priest. Not only, look at that next one. He had to pass through three doors. Remember what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4? Seeing then as we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, that word into is translated through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Think about this. How many times have I told you there's not just one heaven, there's three, isn't there? There's three heavens. The first heaven is where these clouds are. The second heaven is where the sun, moon, stars are. And the third heaven is where God's throne sits and where you and I go when we trust in Him. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, He ascended. Well, guess where He went through? That first heaven, right through the clouds. That second heaven, right through the sun, moon, and the stars. And the Bible says, hey, I'm about to run. In Ezekiel chapter number 1, the Bible says, He saw one seated like unto the Son of Man. And He started to see that vision. And right above the firmament, He said, above the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the clouds, I see a throne. Right above all that, where it all ends, there's a place where God sits on His throne. And God went, and Jesus, when He ascended, went through the first one, the second one, and He passed through the third one, and He sat down on the right hand of God. He passed through three doors. And He passed through these three heavens to get there. But He also had to have a blood sacrifice. He had to have a blood sacrifice. Listen to Hebrews chapter number 9. Verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When Jesus entered, He didn't take the blood of a bull, the blood of a goat, the blood of a lamb, for He was the Lamb, the spotless Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the pure Lamb, the powerful Lamb. That took His blood and He poured it out on the mercy seat of God in heaven. And when God looked at it, He said, I'm satisfied. And their sins are covered forever. If there's a church that you are going to and they've taken the blood out of the hymn books, if they've taken the blood out of the Bibles that they're using, if they've taken the blood out of any songs, any things that they do, there's one thing you need to do. Find a different church. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. I'm thankful I found that flood one day where I plunged under the blood of Jesus and lost all my guilty stains. The blood of Jesus does exactly that. No matter where you've been, hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed His blood for you. Can I tell you about some powerful blood that still flows down 2,000 years? That can still cover everybody's sin. That's powerful. And He poured it out as our sacrifice. But you see, the high priest had to do it once every year. Because after He poured out that blood of a goat, And God said their sins are forgiven for this year. That high priest would turn around and go back out into the world, and guess what they would do again? They would sin. And their sins would have to be covered again the next year. Well, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus did not do it once a year. Jesus did it once and for all. The Bible says, by which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, if He had to do it once a year, Jesus would have to come and suffer all over again. And by the way, if He had to, He'd do it all over just for you. He'd do it all over again. But guess what? He don't have to. Because His blood was sufficient to cover the sins from Adam to the last person to ever walk the face of this earth. His blood can cover their sins. But you know, there was one thing in the Holy of Holies that was never mentioned to be there. And that was a seat. If I were to go back to that picture of the tabernacle and we saw the Holy of Holies, all you would see in there was the Ark of the Covenant. That'd be it. You would not see a stool to sit down. You would not see anything in there to sit down. Because like I said, when that high priest got done, he'd have to walk back out because there were more sins to cover. But you see, the Bible says when Jesus went to heaven, He didn't stand up. He sat down. Why? Because His sins cover the sins from Adam to the last person to ever walk the face of the earth. His blood covers that. Every priest stands daily. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's why when Jesus ascended, all throughout your Bible, it says He sat on the right hand of God, because He's done. He finished our redemption. But you know, there's coming a day where He's going to get up. And I would not be surprised if He did it by the end of today. When He gets up and He steps back on these clouds and says, come home. With all the stuff happening in our world today, and not only in the world, but in the church. And that's exactly what He said was going to happen. The church is turning away from Me. Just watch the news and watch what's happening in the churches around our nation. They're turning away from Jesus. And Jesus said, when you see all these things, look up, because I'm coming soon. He sat down, but there's coming a day where He's going to stand up and come back. That was what a high priest was. He was a middleman. Jesus was a perfect one. He was a representative, and praise God, He's our representative. He was a forerunner that went into the presence of God for us. And by the way, a forerunner is one who goes before us, which means we get to go after Him. And there were requirements, and He did every single one of those to perfection. I'll give you one more, and I'll be done. He ascended, number one, to send God's promise of the Holy Spirit. He ascended, number two, to sit as our great high priest. And I wish I could preach that for the next 3 hours, because I like that one. But thirdly, He ascended to save a group of people. To save a group of people. Now listen, there was one problem with every single high priest in the Old Testament. One problem. They all bore the same problem. They all died. They all died. And when they died, they needed somebody else to bring the nation of Israel to God. Because when you're dead, you can't bring anybody to God. So they all died. So listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7. But this man, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. It says because he sat down, because he died, because he lives, because he'll never die again, he is able, no matter if you are in Alaska, Canada, Antarctica, America, he is able to save anybody who comes to God, but there's only one requirement to get there. You got to come through him. There ain't but one way to get to God. And that's through the one who sits on his right hand, the one who sits in the middle of God and man. That's the only way. To come unto God. And that's the only reason we can get to Him. That's why you and I as Christians love Jesus so much. And we ought to. Because without Jesus, we'd have no hope. We'd have no heaven. We'd have no God. With Jesus, we've got all that. See, without Him, we have no hope. Because He ascended for us, He's our middleman. He's our representative. He's our Savior. He can bring us to God. Let me tell you this story and I'll be done. There was a man that was standing around the White House. He was waiting to see President Abraham Lincoln. Well, of course, there was a huge crowd of people standing around the White House waiting to see Abraham Lincoln. But this man was in the back of the crowd. Everybody screaming, everybody taking pictures. He screamed, "Hey, I need to see the president." Everybody else screaming all around him. Well, there's this little boy that was standing in front of the crowd. And he turned around and he saw that man screaming, "But I need to see the president." The little boy walks back to that man that was screaming and he said, "Do you need to see the president?" He said, "Well, yeah, what are you going to do about it?" He said, "Come with me." They began to walk, and the man looked at the little boy. He said, "Where are you taking me? How are you going to take me to see the president?" And the boy looked at him and said, "Just trust me." Well, they got up near the front door of the White House, them big old two security guards standing there. That man looked at the boy and said, "You realize we're about to get tackled, shot, or thrown in jail. We ain't supposed to be this close." And the boy said, "Just trust me." And they walked up to them two security guards. The little boy looked up at him. Security guard said, "Come on in." And opened up the door. That man looked at that little boy. Said, "What in the world just happened? He just got us in the White House." And that man began to look around like he was in heaven, never seen anything like that before. The little boy said, "Come on, the Oval Office is this way. You need to see the president." And they got close to the Oval Office. That man looked at that little boy and he said, "How in the world did you get us in here close to the president?" He said, "I don't understand." And the little boy looked at the man and said, "No, you don't understand. That man that's sitting in that Oval Office, I'm his son. And because I'm his son, I got direct access to him whenever I want." See, if you have the son, you get direct access to God whenever you want. But the only reason, the only way to get to him is through the son. You can't get in any other way. But if you got the son with you, you get to him. If you got the son, you get to him. Jesus ascended. Musicians, you can come forth to send his promise of the Holy Spirit, to sit as our great high priest, but to save a group of people. And I don't know who's in here this morning. And if you've never had that experience, that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not about coming to church. It's not about being a good person. It's about turning to Jesus and saying, "I can't, but you can. I can't get to God by myself. I need you to get there." If you don't have Him this morning, come down here and I'll show you how you can have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, we thank You for the power that's contained in it that shows us that we have access to You through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for the access You've given us. That although we who are saved, we've already got that access to You. And every single day we can come to You boldly and pray to You, God, because we have the Son of God. And we thank You for that ability, Lord. And I just pray that if there's one person in here today that doesn't know You, that does not have the Son, God, I pray they'll come down here and they'll find eternal life. If there's anybody who wants to join the church doors are open. I pray today would be the day. And Lord, we do thank You for all You've done for us. In Christ's name, amen.